Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is actor Max Chucker. Max is one of those rare actors who's making a living on stage in Los Angeles. He's currently performing in West Side Story at La Mirada Performing Arts Center and starred as Arab in the national tour of that same musical. Max, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to speak with you.
So, when did you know you wanted to be an actor, Max?
Well, I kind of blame my mom for making me an actor.
Sure, blame the mom.
I think you always got to blame the mom for taking you down the path, if you will. But when she found out she was pregnant with me, she actually had a cassette tape made with Big River on one side and Pippin on the other side. So I was kind of destined for it from birth. But I always listened to soundtracks in the car growing up, and we had a great community theater where I grew up. I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and from there it just kind of led me down a path that I couldn't turn back from. Now I'm an actor. Oh, God.
Doomed.
Yep. Stuck.
So, like, basically as far back as you can remember.
Yeah, really. Just from when I was born, I was listening to Oklahoma and Big River and West Side Story and Rent. By the time I was 7, it was...
Right. I brought a cassette from Rent, the soundtrack, right, back from Broadway, where I saw the original cast, because I was that lucky. And I think that Dove was listening to it when she was 2 or 3, and probably knew the whole thing by heart by the time she was 4.
Yeah, exactly. But those are those amazing experiences you have with, you know, like, those experiences I had with my mom, is we would be in the car and we'd listen to a soundtrack and we'd be, like, singing along together, and then you start trying to become the characters you're listening to when you're in the car, and then it leads to auditioning for a play, and then you find yourself on stage, and I'm still on stage. It's insane.
That's so cool. Did you have someone who inspired you?
Oh, yeah. I had so many people that inspired me growing up. I grew up in a thriving theater community in Virginia, so we had an incredible community theater called the Hurrah Players, and from that program, people like Mary Faber and Matt Kaplan and Derek Williams, which are all people that have been on Broadway 9, 10 different times at this point. And I had these people, and they were performing at the age of 13, 14, and me as like a 6, 7-year-old, I was just watching it and wanting to be them so terribly bad. It just kind of leads you down this path. And then, of course, you get to high school, and people that are on Broadway come back to the hometown and talk about their experiences, and that's all you think that you want to do and you want to be. So, yeah, I had some great people growing up that, you know, the generations, you know, 5, 10 years above me that really showed me that that's what I wanted to do.
Well, and that showed you that it could be done. I mean, literally, I think the power of real role models can't be overstated. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's somebody that you know personally who's done something that you want to do, it's like, this is possible. This isn't just some crazy pipe dream.
Right, right.
I know someone who's doing it. It's real.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what happened to me with 10 to 15 people.
Wow. That must have been quite a theater.
Yeah, it was super cool. And I went to a performing arts high school, so it just is a perfect system that they have in Virginia Beach, where it's this community theater where everyone does theater growing up, and then by the time you're 13, 14, you're auditioning for the Magnet High School, and they have incredible singing, dancing, and acting training that you're getting by the time you're 14, so just kind of leads you down that path in the right way.
Wow, and that takes us straight into the education conversation, which is like, so then you went to college, and you got a 4-year degree in theater, right?
Yes, I went to Florida State University. I got a Bachelor of Music in Musical Theater.
Okay. What do you think about that? So many of the actors that I'm, you know, friends with here who started earlier in film and TV, they missed that, or they skipped it, or however you care to phrase that. You know, they learned by doing, because they started when they were literally way too young to go to college.
Right.
That wasn't really an option for them.
Right.
But you went the more kind of classical route.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, acting and performing was an art form. It was something that I wanted to study. I wanted to know about the greats. I wanted to know about the techniques. And I think with a theater background and growing up in a community of musical theater performers, it was imperative that you go to college. From where I was from, because I wasn't in a thriving TV film community, it was everyone kind of went to college, and I knew that I wanted to be the best performer that I could possibly be to set me up for the rest of my life. And I feel like Florida State really did that for me. It had incredible acting training, and I was taking dance for 2 to 3 hours a day, and I had voice lessons with an incredible woman named Gail Seaton, who really just set me up for success for my voice for the rest of my life. And I feel like if I hadn't had that college experience, you can kind of build your own college experience outside of college, but to be in a place that organizes such growth and pushes you in that way, it creates a schedule and a work ethic for you that I don't think could be replaced by anything else.
It's a structure for fulfillment. You know, without that kind of structure, yes, it can be done, but it's so hard. And so they create that structure for you, right. Which allows you to just, yeah, the training. I'm so excited for you that you had that. And I sometimes think about how fun it would be for some of these kids who started younger to get that. And some of them never will, because it's just too hard to hop off the path and go get, you know, go spend 4 years
absolutely
at a university once you've started.
And I know for musical theater and theater in general, the college relationship is so imperative, because there is such an incredible alumni base. And from working at so many different theaters, I've worked with the Michigan alumni base, the Carnegie Mellon alumni base. You really see these schools, and the alumni of these schools are the ones that are creating the theater. And once you make these relationships and these connections, it really becomes just this huge network of all these different alumni from different colleges.
That's interesting. So that's a huge plus.
Huge plus. And it even goes into the casting world as well, because a lot of the casting people came from these different universities. So once you start meeting people from a certain university, it creates this whole network of human beings.
Well, and the network is serious. We were talking about this, you know, as we were just sort of settling in with coffee before the recorder turned on. But there's that whole conversation about, you know, it's who you know, and you can hold that conversation a bunch of different ways. You can feel resentful of that if you feel locked out by it. You can feel fortunate if you're not. But the truth is, you know, theater and acting and film and TV, it's a human endeavor. And because it's a human endeavor, it's about relationship. And relationships, you know, are about trust. And so if you know somebody enough to trust them, that makes you more interested in working with them. And so knowing somebody or having a community like an alumni association, it can get you in the door, which is critical. Because if you've got the goods, then, you know, then you have the opportunity. If you don't, you still don't. That's the deal. Nobody ever gets hired because they've got the relationship, but not the talent.
That's true. Even more so in theater, I think. Absolutely. Probably. That is definitely the case.
Yeah. So it's important to have those relationships, because they can get you in the door to show what you've got and have a shot. Because that's all anybody can ever ask for.
Yeah, is to be given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You mentioned vocal training.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a huge believer in vocal training. I know both of my kids, I mean, obviously one of them, Claire, teaches voice for a living at this point. But Dove, I feel very strongly like her, I don't think she'd be anywhere near the singer she is without some serious vocal training that she had.
Absolutely. It's a muscle like any other group. You have to continually work and train the muscle to be able to maneuver certain songs and ideas, and especially now, contemporary musical theater, they are constantly pushing the envelope of what the voice can do.
It's really demanding now.
Absolutely, and trying to do that 8 shows a week, I mean, you really have to have a very solid technique behind you, or I have so many friends and colleagues that, you know, it's just you do the show, you go home, you don't speak for the rest of the day, you drink tea, and you really just have to take care of every part of your body just to be able to do that 8 shows a week.
I think of it as basically an athletic endeavor. It's very physical, especially musical theater. But it would be as crazy to approach that without serious training, to me, as it would be to approach an Olympic level event without serious training, you know?
Absolutely.
You're going to go down.
Absolutely. And if you're in a dance call with 50 guys and you have someone showing you a combination and expecting you to pick it up in a minute's time and perform it at opening night level, and you don't have the training and the mindset to actually execute it, it's detrimental. It's pretty terrifying.
Well, you literally just can't compete at that level without the training.
Of course.
Yeah, never mind, as you say, doing the 8 shows a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I like to ask people how you got started, but clearly you got started in a very organic way.
Yes.
Like, sort of step by step, pretty seamlessly, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the building blocks were already in place for me to climb them. Just based off of my mom showing me soundtracks when I was little, getting into community theater as a young child, and then going to a performing arts high school, leading to university, and then doing professional theater after that.
So I'm going to ask about the professional theater segue in a second, but I just want to put in a plug for community theater here. Every
sure.
opportunity I get. I'm in love with community theater myself. It was central to our lives and to my kids getting, you know, where they are today. And I think it's easy for people to underestimate how powerful and how important community theater can be for growing young actors, mm-hmm. as well as just delivering incredible performances for anyone who shows up in the audience.
I 100% agree. I was lucky enough to grow up in a family that was very nurturing, very loving, but I saw how many lives were saved at that community theater that I grew up in, children that didn't have the direction at home, and the head of the community theater, his name is Hugh Copeland, has saved hundreds of lives from squandering away, not knowing what to do, not having any structure, to becoming beautiful, compassionate, amazing human beings just because they were put into a situation where they were able to feel things and grow and learn in a nurturing, healthy environment.
I love that. I do truly think that theater saves lives. I think that art in general saves lives.
Absolutely.
But I've seen it happen over and over again with theater. Well, so you've got this kind of seamless stairway.
Yes,
which is
exactly.
Not a normal situation, so good for you, Max.
Totally. Thank you, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Seriously, though, how beautiful. And then you graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
So... at a lot of theater programs, when you're a senior in college, your spring semester, you're kind of eyeing what's going on in New York because you know that you're going to get pushed off the ledge into the real world pretty quickly after you graduate. Exactly. So starting senior fall semester, I was looking on websites like BroadwayWorld.com, Playbill.com. They both have incredible audition tabs that you can click on and kind of see what auditions are happening throughout New York City. So I spent a lot of time going through those websites and seeing, now what is Max Chucker right for at 22 years old to actually go and audition for in the city? So I kind of just kept looking online, and I saw that West Side Story was holding auditions in the spring. I talked to my professors, asked if I could go up for the audition. Everyone was very supportive. And from there, I quite literally went up my senior year of college from Florida up to New York and started a crazy audition process that lasted about a month and a half and led me through like 5 or 6 different auditions and cuts mm-hmm. that I went through. And then I actually found out the day I was moving out of my college apartment that I had booked the national tour of West Side Story.
Oh, it just gave me chills.
Yeah.
That must have been amazing.
It was the craziest thing in my life. My mom was actually in town helping me move out. And I got the phone call and I kind of just froze. And my best friend, who was my roommate, his name is Peyton, came from the other room, could tell just from the air in the room that something important was happening. And I had found out that I booked West Side Story and I was going to be performing all around the country for a year doing it, and it was amazing. It was like one of the best days of my life. It was so cool.
A national tour straight out of college.
Yeah. And that's honestly, it was honestly a very smooth progression, because to book something of that caliber, you have to be training every single day to be at the levels you need to be to perform professionally. In a show like that, you have to have such strong vocal, dance, and acting training that it just kind of led that way, because I was working so hard every single day towards that, that it just helped lead to that. And you have to do that.
You were training at professional caliber right there at university.
Exactly. And it just, it put me in a position to really thrive at the audition because I really was doing it every single day, 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day doing it.
Yeah. No, it takes an intensive commitment, especially at that level, like for Broadway quality live theater. I think it's easy to underestimate that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I did end up moving to New York after tour, you have to set yourself up by taking at dance studios in New York every day, finding incredible vocal coaches, working on rep, constantly reading plays. You really do have to keep immersing yourself in it every single moment of every single day to stay at the level that will allow you to possibly be able to be in a Broadway show.
Yeah. Yeah, to get the next role.
Mm-hmm.
That is so exciting. What was it like to be on tour for a year?
It was incredible. It was the best experience of my life, I'd say. I mean, it was crazy. I went to 80 cities in 1 year.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. There's like 52 weeks in a year. So 80 cities?
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of weeks where we would do split weeks. So you would perform until about 11:30 at night, and then you would sleep in the hotel room until about 5 in the morning, get on a plane or a bus, head to the next city, tech the show for a couple hours that same day, and then do it again that night.
That's crazy. What great training that must have been for you, though.
Absolutely. You learn very quickly the rights and wrongs of theater by being pushed in that hard. Yeah.
I'm thinking about like a compare and a contrast between, you know, 4 years of serious, rigorous training you got in school versus the kind of learning by doing then that you had the following year.
Absolutely.
Any differences there?
Absolutely. So many differences. I'd say that the tech you, in through the college experience, I built certain techniques that would allow me to succeed on stage. But it's not until you're on stage and connecting with other people and feeling the energy of the audience, because the energy is just as much a part of the show as the people on stage. You really are listening, responding to what they are giving you as well as the people on stage. And that kind of training is something you can't really do unless you're actually on stage doing it. So the college experience helps you build the technique. So I have the vocal training, I have the dance training, I'm able to understand what listening and responding is as an actor, but there's nothing like being pushed on a stage in front of 2,500 people and really having to call and response with the audience and figuring out what works, what doesn't work, what reads, how to better tell the story on stage. That really is something that you do when you're on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that you can't do it until you're doing it.
Exactly. You can't do it until you're on a stage actually doing it.
Wow. So you must have an agent?
Yes.
Or a manager?
I have an agent who reps me across the board.
So explain what across the board means to people.
So essentially I'm repped commercially, theatrically. The agent that I have represents me in every way possible, essentially. For the theater, for TV, film, for commercial, for print,
every single thing. How did you end up signing with this agent?
Interestingly enough, I had an agent in New York named Meg Pantera Agency, a really nice small boutique agency that's been around for almost 25, 30 years. But she was unfortunately not bi-coastal, meaning she only repped people in New York. And then I moved to Los Angeles to be with my fiance. Her name's Emmy Buckner.
Oh, people might have heard that name before.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Shout out.
Yeah, she worked on a little show called Liv and Maddie. I don't know. You may have heard of it before. But yeah, when I moved out here, I had to find new representation because my agent was only in New York. So I created a cover letter that explained, it was kind of a short form gracious letter of my resume and explaining my situation, that I had just moved here from New York and was seeking representation. I explained to them the type of performer I was. I told them I was a song and dance man from New York City, and I told them what I wanted to accomplish, sort of thing, in Los Angeles. And I sent that out to maybe 15, 20 agents, and I did get hits back from about 10 of them. And then
that's really good.
Yeah, and then from there, I just went and did interviews and tried to figure out which fit would be right for me, and then found an agent. I'm with Block Agency, and they've been amazing.
So you got a good response just sending out a good cover letter and a headshot and a resume.
Absolutely, and I think that's because I had, to be fair, it was because I had a resume of credits, mm-hmm. and I was lucky enough to be mentioned in the New York Times for a show that I did in Connecticut, so being able to put something like that in a cover letter is incredible, and that really did help me a lot.
So you had credits and press and an
exactly.
Education.
Exactly. Yeah. I already had that kind of in place. I don't know if it would be fair to say that I just sending out cover letters would work for, you know.
It doesn't work for most people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why
exactly.
I'm asking you. Like, that's really unusual. But it makes sense. And I think I recall reading your mention in the New York Times. That was for Fiddler, right?
Yes, I did Fiddler on the Roof at a theater in Connecticut called the Goodspeed Opera House, which is an incredible regional theater. They were the first theater to put up Man of La Mancha and Annie and Shenandoah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you toured with that show too, right?
I didn't tour with a touring company, but I have done the show 4 different times. So yes, a tour
in
the sense.
Greece,
yeah. Yeah, I was in Athens, Greece doing the show for 4 months. It was the most incredible experience of my life at what is called the Badminton Teatro. And yeah, I performed Fiddler, and I'm a playing violin player as well as actor.
Okay, everybody stop and notice, Max is more than just a triple threat. Max has other skills, and that's part of how you got that role, right?
Absolutely. So I brought in my violin to the dance call. I got a call back from doing the dance call, and I just asked them very graciously if I could play them a little excerpt on the violin, and they all looked at me very shocked but very excited. We're like, of course you can play us something. So I just played them a little violin, and then they gave me some sheet music and asked me to play the little theme from Fiddler, and I played it for them, and it led down this crazy path of me doing the Fiddler 4 different times at 4 different theaters, and it's been incredible.
I love that. I'm a huge, huge proponent of people having additional skills. I mean,
absolutely.
In part, just because it makes your life that much richer and happier and better. It's like human beings should be multidimensional, you know?
Yes.
Especially actors. I mean, you got to have more in your wheelhouse than just acting, you know, right?
Absolutely. I mean, in New York, the qualifications for certain roles are so vast. I mean, you have so many shows that are now utilizing instruments, utilizing improv, utilizing a cappella work. There's just so many different components that are needed for shows. It's just good to be as accessible as possible and have a wide range of skill sets.
Yeah, and certainly it does make you more castable and employable. And ultimately, if you're hoping to make a living, that's a big deal.
Absolutely.
Do you have any auditioning advice?
Yes, I definitely have a lot of auditioning advice. I think it's important to be yourself at the audition, but I think what a lot of people don't tell you is that it's important to know what your type is for the audition. You should go into the audition room presenting yourself, but you should also present yourself in a way that it's clear to the casting director what it is that you do and what character you are right for within the context of yourself. So I think it was very important for me, especially when I graduated college, I was like, what can Max Tucker do? I realized, okay, I'm a short, character-y Jewish guy. So you find people that are older and have like a certain career path, and you see what roles and what things they have done. And then I started to emulate and try and put myself in their shoes and try and become the characters that they created, because I saw that those performers were very similar to the kind of performer that I wanted to be. So yeah, I think it's very important in an audition situation to really know who you are as a performer and find the characters that are right for you. Because I think a lot of people go in very vaguely, just trying to present something as opposed to presenting something specific.
I agree. I think that's brilliant advice. And it's just not true, sadly, that we all can play any different character that we fall in love with or decide we'd like to.
Of course.
Because we're not seen that way. And right. We are broken down into types, not just for film and TV, but for theater as well.
Oh, very much so in theater.
Yeah.
Just as much in theater, almost, I'd say.
Yeah.
They're always trying to fit that type, especially if you're talking about a Broadway show, they really do like to fit the tracking that they've already created.
Makes sense. What has surprised you so far about this whole adventure?
What has surprised me about this adventure? There's been a lot of honestly, there's been a lot of surprises. I think I went into the mindset I was a little naive to the thought that I really did think that once you got to a certain point in musical theater, it was more glamorous than it actually was.
You mean it's not glamorous, Max?
Oh, I know. The theater world is... I have so many friends that, you know, have done 3-4 Broadway shows, and then 6 months later, they're working at a restaurant, and you start back at one a lot of times the moment the show's over. I mean, you're developing these relationships, and of course there's certain directors and certain choreographers that I can reach out to and talk to and kind of network to try and be in other productions, but it really was a surprise to me that once the show is over, you really have to go back to almost like Rocky montage training where you're just trying to mentally propel yourself to getting that next role.
Up those steps, Rocky.
Yeah. No, it really is. I mean, I finish a show and then I'm back to dance class and vocal training and just trying to be the best that I can possibly be to put myself in a position that someone will give me a job.
Again. Yeah. Well, that's part of the life of an actor, whether you're doing film or TV or stage, you know, it's you gotta be brave to do this. Brave, courage. What do you think is important and not important for success as an actor?
I think with there being so many social media outlets like Facebook and Instagram and all of these different things, it's very easy to compare yourself to other people, because everyone on Facebook and Instagram is trying to show their best self, what they're doing. You know, my news feed is 100% my friends that are on Broadway that are like, Groundhog Day just opened, and pictures from Anastasia, and all these things, and it's so hard not to compare yourself to these people that are doing what you want to be doing. And what I would say that is important is to see what they're doing, and instead of comparing yourself, use that for the fuel to push yourself to do your best work and not let it drown and flood you that you're not doing what they're doing.
That's gorgeous advice. That is gorgeous advice. I'm going to take that myself. I love that. And I think, too, it's really important to remember that everybody is generally always showing kind of the best little segment of what's going on in their lives.
Right.
It's edited. No matter who you are, there's always stuff going on behind the scenes that you're not going to show on Instagram that would give a more kind of complete picture.
Right.
So I think it's helpful to remember that too. What's your method of staying positive and focused on your dream when the going gets tough, as it inevitably does for everybody?
Absolutely. I've been very lucky that I'm a musician. So when I do start to feel that drowning sense of, like, am I ever going to work again? And there's so many times where it does get so hard, and you're like, do I want to keep doing this? Like, for the amount that I'm getting paid, or for the amount of stress that I put on myself that I'm not performing at that time, I go to music. I go to the training to get me away from my own brain that's like,
get out of your head.
Oh, all my friends are going to be asking me, and family members are going to be asking me, well, what are you up to?
Well, what's
like,
next
what
for
show,
you?
What show are you doing? You know? And for me, I just focus on the work. I focus on the training. I focus on playing music. I do a lot of my own singer-songwriter things, and
nice.
Play guitar and ukulele and mandolin and violin, all these string instruments. So really, when I get down, I play music. I practice scales. I write, I do all these things that fuel me as an artist. So if I'm not being fueled through work that's paying me, I'm fueling myself to push myself forward.
I love that. That's wonderful. Also great advice. Let's talk about Hollywood versus New York. We were talking about this again before the recorder came on. And you know, when I think about cities where you can make a living as an actor, maybe. New York is certainly the first thing that comes to mind. And then there's some other really fantastic regional markets that you can rattle off, the ones that you think are the most plausible for an actor to make a living outside of New York.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, no matter who you're talking to, LA doesn't usually show up on that list.
No.
But so let's talk about that.
Surprisingly enough, Los Angeles has a very thriving theater community.
It does.
Absolutely.
It's like a surprise.
It is incredible. Some ones of note, La Mirada Performing Arts Center, Music Theater West, 3D Theatricals, the Wallace Annenberg Center, Pasadena Playhouse. The list really does go on, and they do have a lot of actors' equity contracts, meaning they have work for union performers, meaning you get paid at a certain rate, you can receive health insurance, you can really live a real normal life while actually doing theater.
Making a living as an actor on stage.
Making a living as an actor, which is incredible. And I've been very lucky that the Los Angeles market is very warm. There, a lot of the same choreographers and directors work at a lot of the different theaters. So once, if you have the training and you go to the auditions and you can show them that you are able to do the work, you really build a trust with them and you're able to kind of work from show to show and build a life and career out here.
Which is what's been happening for you.
Absolutely. That's what I've started to do, and it's been an incredible experience and something that's really affected my life in a really positive way.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the same level of interest in film and TV as you do for live theater? Or is live theater really where your heart is?
I'm a song and dance man, so I would say that live theater is where I live, but I think it would be weird for me to say that I would not do TV film. I mean, Gene Kelly is one of my idols, and he made a career of doing film and directing and doing all these things for a wider audience, so mm-hmm. you can bring a lot of people in. And I feel like there is a lot of musical films being made, and I think there's a really awesome market in TV film for a theater performer.
There's a big trend toward musical theater type TV and film right now. I mean,
absolutely.
It's kind of having a renaissance, which I think is exciting.
I agree, and I know in the higher echelons of musical theater, like once you get to a level, it really does make it easier for you to get in the room for TV and film.
Well, and vice versa. There's the walls that used to exist between those different genres, film and TV and theater, they used to be kind of siloed, you know, and you were kind of one actor or another. You know, your TV actor would never get considered for film and vice versa. And then there's the stage thing. It's getting very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. If you're a top-notch theater actor, a lot of doors will open to you for film and TV, but the reverse is now true, too. You're
absolutely.
Seeing a lot of successful film and TV actors just sort of stepping easily over to stage.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's exciting. It's kind of, to me, it's how it should be. I always thought those silos were crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the same. It should be very similar mediums, you know?
Yeah. You know, yes, they're a little bit different, but if you know what you're doing, you're going to be able to make those adjustments.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about casting in New York. In L.A., casting offices are literally all over the city. There's not a certain area where they are, and there's a zillion of them. What's it like in New York?
It is a much smaller concentration in New York, and it is really important to know the main offices, because there really is 5 to 10 casting offices that are casting everything that's on Broadway. It's much smaller and much more concentrated. Some of the ones that you'll see time and time again would be Telsey and Company, Binder Casting, Tara Rubin Casting. Those offices you'll see time and time again, and when the show has different reincarnations, say, you have Book of Mormon, and then you have the Book of Mormon tour, or Book of Mormon in Australia, or Book of Mormon in the West End. They're mostly cast from the exact same casting office. So you really do get to know these casting directors, and they'll bring you in over and over and over again, sometimes 8-9 callbacks for the same show, because you'll get put on file for a show, but they're just waiting for there to be an opening in one of their 4 or 5 companies of the production.
That's neat. You know what's interesting is Telsey cast Hairspray Live.
Yes.
So they're not just casting for Broadway.
Absolutely.
But it was musical theater, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Interesting. What about training in the city? Are there certain places that you would recommend to young actor hitting New York?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a very strong connection to the dance, the musical theater dance in New York City, so I could talk a little bit on that.
Sure.
So there are two studios that I think are both incredible for young musical theater performers who want to take class with Broadway caliber choreographers, and that would be Steps on Broadway, which is located on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and then Broadway Dance Center is another really great place to train. Now, a lot of the teachers that teach at these classes are the director choreographers that are working in New York and regionally. So it is a really amazing way to take from the people that will be casting. And you really do find in these rooms at Steps on Broadway and Broadway Dance Center that a lot of these classes almost feel like an audition, because you are taking with people that are having an eye out there for what the up-and-coming talent is.
So it's not only top-notch training, but it's also a way to network and get known by people who are making decisions.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Absolutely. So you'll take classes with people like Randy Skinner, and he'll have 70 people in his class, and he's done shows like 42nd Street, Anything Goes, Dames at Sea. You know, you're taking with someone who is in the middle of the Broadway community.
That's
just at the studio.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Man, you should write a little like black book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody must have already done this, but if they haven't, it's gotta be done. What about pay scales? Like, I mean, let's be honest, for the most part, stage work is not gonna pay as much as film or TV is going to pay generally.
Absolutely.
But what's that actually look like in reality?
Okay, so if we're going to talk about the highest you can make in the theater world, the equity minimum for Broadway currently is around $1,900. Which
per
week.
Per week, okay.
So if you think about that, it sounds astronomically like a very high number. But what you have to take into account is the tax rate of New York. You're going to be giving your agent about 10% of every check, and maybe even a manager 10%, depending on how you're represented, as well as living in New York City is very, very expensive. So that is about the highest you'll make as a musical theater performer. Now, if you start to garner covers for certain shows, or if you become a swing, you do get little pay bumps for the amount of roles that you are covering. So it can go up to, you can get to around $2,500 to $3,000 if you do cover a wide range of roles. But that is about the pay scale of Broadway, is about $1,900.
Now that's Broadway, but what about Off-Broadway? I think they have a different scale, don't they?
Oh my gosh, Off-Broadway, it runs the gambit. It really is a much smaller market, and I have a lot of friends who work Off-Broadway who actually do have day jobs as well, just to supplement, because that range is very small. It could be at the highest $800 to $900 a week, which with stipends being $300 a week for most Off-Broadway productions.
That would be very hard to pay rent and
absolutely
an agent and everything else.
Absolutely.
Off of that.
It's
wow,
super difficult.
What about regional stuff or touring stuff?
Absolutely. The highest that I've seen for regional theater currently, the top tier regional theaters, I would say at max $1,000
per week.
Per week. But you can see anywhere from $300 to around $850, I think, is normally the range regionally.
So it's important for people who are considering trying to make a living as an actor, you know, a stage actor, to do that math and to consider whether that's something that they, you know, want to live with. Because the truth is, unlike other jobs where you're making X dollars a week or X dollars a month, you're only making that amount of money while you're in the show.
Exactly.
And when the show closes, you've gone back to basically unemployed in most cases.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to make an average of that per year if you're an actor for most
right
cases. In most cases.
Most runs, depending, are normally only 2 to 3 months
mm-hmm
at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a reality, and I only say this because I think it's really important for people to run the numbers and do the math and say, all right, so I'm paying this much in student loans or tuition. Absolutely. Or whatever investment you're making in that education that you need to have at that level, and then what's it going to look like in terms of...
I think the financial bracket of where you sit is a very important thing to think about, especially when you're moving to New York City. Because when you're moving to New York City, to compete with the people in New York City, you really do need to get into acting, singing, dancing classes in New York City, even after you come out of a college where you have such strong training, because you have to keep up your training, you have to keep up the level in which you perform to compete with these people in New York. And I think it is really difficult because I have a lot of friends who moved to New York City and had student loans and had to get day jobs right away, where it was very difficult to balance working in a restaurant and taking dance classes and doing a lot of these things. I've noticed a lot of my friends that were able to make it were luckily financially stable enough that they were able to move to New York and start taking classes at Steps on Broadway, start taking voice lessons with one of the top teachers, get into workshops, because that really is the way that you have to keep yourself training so you are ready for those moments.
Yeah, because when that audition comes up, you don't have much opportunity. Like, you got to be ready right then.
Exactly. You have to be ready at that moment.
Well, and these classes are probably not free, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. You can pay anywhere from $100 to $200 for one voice lesson in New York City.
$100 to $200 per lesson.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. And a dance class will cost you around $20 a class. Okay. And you can get certain packages where it will be like $15, $16 a class, but around that amount.
That's a little less prohibitive.
Yes, a little bit.
Wow. Any other hot tips on New York City for actors while we're at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to know what directors are working in New York right now, what choreographers are working in New York right now, because they do really seem to go from show to show. So if you build that in your mind, you know, this person is directing, this person is choreographing, you kind of to figure out what their style is, what the trends are, and really being hip and knowing what's happening in New York really gives you the upper edge when you do get into the room.
Well, and a lot of these guys, you know, once they start to work together, they go from project to project together.
Absolutely.
You know, casting directors and directors and choreographers, they tend to operate as teams a lot of the time.
Exactly. Loosely. And they cast like that as well. Once you become part of their team, a lot of the people, it's crazy. I'll go to an audition and I get cast in something and I see that I'm the only person from the entire audition that got cast, and it's very confusing because you would think they would pick at least 10 to 12 people from that audition for the show, but a lot of times it really is the director has a certain group of people he's worked with that he's going to bring in for the show, the choreographer has a certain group of people that he brings in for the show, and they really are only casting maybe 4 or 5 people from the actual audition for the production.
Wow. Which again takes you back to do what you can to network. And networking is misunderstood, I think, by a lot of people. It's like, oh, I hate networking. It's like, it's not a fake thing. It's literally about getting to know people in an authentic way.
Absolutely.
And developing genuine relationships. It's not fake or artificial or businessy. I think a lot of artists, when they hear the word networking, they kind of shrink inside. But it's not anything different than what you do
in real life. Absolutely. It's just developing relationships with other human beings, which is what we do every day.
Yeah. It's as real as anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's part of how you can, you know, get your foot in the door and be seen and have a shot.
Absolutely. And that's why you go to places like Steps on Broadway or Broadway Dance Center, is to start developing these relationships, seeing how these choreographers work. So that when you get in the room with them and there's 50 other people and you're learning a combination in a matter of minutes and performing it back, you feel comfortable. You feel in your skin. You feel like you're able to give them a product, as opposed to not knowing anything and having nothing to come from.
Well, and not only that, but if, you know, some of the decision makers are people who've seen you show up for class week after week after week and seen your ethic that way and see how you conduct yourself as a human with other humans, like, you know, you have integrity, you're pleasant to be around, stuff right. like that. That stuff all factors in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Any other hot tips for New York for beginning aspiring actors?
get yourself into classes, I think is just the reoccurring theme. Go out for things that you find your type and you go out for things that you're actually right for. I would say don't put yourself in situations. Don't set yourself up to fail. Set yourself up for success.
Any challenges on this path? Because the one thing I'm thinking about right now is I think in my experience, most actors that I know personally, they fell in love with theater first. You fall in love with theater because that's what's most accessible. Maybe you have a brilliant community theater. You start acting on stage, and then maybe sometimes they segue to film or TV or whatever. But most of us start out with theater, and I think a lot of people think like, okay, that's where I'm going to go. You've done that. Mm-hmm. You've done that. You're doing it. What have some of the challenges been to pursuing that particular path?
It's very challenging because every year a new crop of performers are coming to New York, and it's a constant competitive career path, and it's constantly putting yourself out there in front of hundreds of people. And I am very strong. I've been very strongly going to, you know, a lot of calls where you're in a room with 50 other performers and you're being asked to learn a dance combination and then perform it immediately in front of 50 other colleagues and then a panel of people and expecting it to do it perfectly the moment after you learned it. No pressure at all. You know, and I just think there is a lot of challenges, and you have to be bold and you have to be strong and you have to be able to really stay focused on what it is you want, because it's so easy to become unfocused by a career path that doesn't allow you to keep work. You're not promised anything. It's just you constantly pushing and trying to make it. It's very, very, very hard.
But it can turn you into an amazing human being, and I've seen that over and over again.
Absolutely. The strength of my colleagues and the people that I'm auditioning with and the camaraderie, and it really is amazing to see a group of such talented human beings all pushing and trying for art, for that goal.
Which is so beautiful to me. To me, it's so beautiful. If you weren't an actor, which is probably just inconceivable, but just for fun, just for the sake of the exercise, I know. I can tell. What do you think you might do?
I'm pretty sure my mom would love me to be a lawyer, a doctor, like the rest of my uncles and aunts. But, you know, I would probably do something in music, probably music therapy. I love teaching, so I would probably do something in that area. Yeah, probably one of those two things.
That sounds like fun. Any advice for young people who want this life?
Yes, I would say if this is something you are extremely passionate about, I would say take everything in, train harder than you think that you're able to train, because you will go to an audition or work for someone and you realize that everything that's leading up to that moment is what you put into it. So I would just say if you're lucky enough as a child or a teenager that is someone that is actually pursuing this, and you have someone who is nurturing that and allowing you to take voice lessons and dance class and acting class, I feel like put everything you have into it, because there are so many people that wish that they had the access to those sort of training tools, and you need those tools so much for when you move to New York that you have to just keep pushing yourself as hard as you possibly can and be the best you possibly can without forgetting who you actually are, but really just technique and really pushing yourself and becoming the best performer that you possibly can, because once you get to New York, you're going to be up against people that's all that they want to do and that's all that they've worked towards. So if you go at it 50%, it's, you know, you fall through the cracks. It's those people that were exemplary that you see moving on to Broadway. It's those people that really worked as hard as they possibly could.
It's those people who get the ticket in for the possibility, for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Anything else you'd like to share?
I think I ran the gambit, but thank you for having me on the podcast. And I guess if I was to say anything to the people that are listening, it's that this is a really, really hard career path. And if you can see yourself doing something else or being something else, I believe there's nothing wrong in, you know, following other passions, because this career path is extremely difficult, and it's something that, you know, I wish someone had told me when I was growing up that it's the kind of life that you will be fighting over and over and over again for what you love. But then on the other side, if it is something that you're willing to fight for, then just keep pushing and keep working. Because I honestly, there have been so many times in my career where I was like, this is going to be the last show I do. I just have a feeling this is probably going to be the last show. But I picked myself up and I just kept training and pushing, and it's just led to, you know, more opportunities because I just kept going.
And here you are again, making a living in LA, doing West Side Story. So exciting.
Yeah.
I what a pleasure to talk to you. How can people find you? What we've got here is we've got an Instagram. Is that your...
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram...
Your best way?
Yeah, I feel like the best way to find me is on Instagram at Max Chucker. Feel free, if you have any questions and you'd like to message me, please feel free.
Oh, thank you so much, Max.
Of course, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.